Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And I pray that this is food for you. You know that? I pray for you all every day. Please. This is the feast of St. Charles Borromeo, and he was a man who was raised in a very noble family in Italy. And at the age of 23, he was made a cardinal. As Secretary of State, he organized the final session of the Council of Trent, authoring many of its reforms. But I want to read one thing to you here. He did many, many things for people. He served in schools and art. He was a nobleman, but he served. He cared for all the people who were in the Milanese during the plague of 1576. He offered himself for the sake of the plague's victims. He did die at the age of 46 with the words, "Behold, Lord, I am coming. Behold the Lord, I am coming." Think of that. He knew to whom he belonged. He knew. And he kept the Lord in mind all the time. "Behold, Lord, I am coming." Wouldn't you like to be able to say that as you were dying? I don't know that I could, but I wish I could. Preserve in the midst of your people, we ask, O Lord, the spirit with which you filled the Bishop St. Charles Borromeo, that your church may be constantly renewed, and by conforming herself to the likeness of Christ, may show his face to the world, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. And the first reading is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 7 to 12. Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself. Well, some people try to. Some people try to live life just of what's important to me, what matters to me. You're never going to be really happy, ever. None of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why then do you judge your brother or sister? Or you, why do you look down on your brother or sister? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. We are going to stand, each of us, all of us, before the judgment seat of God one day. Remember, he's the fullness of love. But if we have any sin that is unconfessed, we carry that with us before God. I've said it to you before, but I want to say again, please, please go to confession. Please go to the Eucharist. Please receive God. Brothers and sisters, I know I've said this to you before, but God so loves you. He would want all of us who say that we are Christians to really come to him as a Christian, having asked forgiveness for our sins. But brothers and sisters, we don't want to say, "Oh, that was too small, that doesn't matter, that doesn't matter, that doesn't matter." And finally, we don't go to confession at all. Brothers and sisters, please open your heart. You're speaking to God. You're not speaking to the priest. You're speaking to God. Please, brothers and sisters, I want us to praise him and love him and follow him all the days of our lives so that we can all be together in heaven, right? And the Psalm 27 says, I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? If I have God, in other words, why be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, and this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. I was thinking about that the other night before I was going to sleep, that I would gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and see him. And I it's just overwhelming to me. I can't imagine what it will be like to see him. So I decided I better go to sleep because I couldn't. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. He loves you. He loves you. This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, this man welcomes and eats with them. Ugh. That was the tone. So Jesus addressed this parable to them. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman having 10 coins and losing one would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost. In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just one. And you say, oh, well, somebody will do it. No. You, speaking to you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. It's hard to get it out. But brothers and sisters, God loves you, and you making a choice to draw near to him, to love him more, and to follow him more, is a gift. It's a gift that you have that desire to follow him. St. Charles Borromeo, and he wrote, they that hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. And how will they change? Indeed, they will be filled with divine strength of him, I say, who assuming our infirmity communicated to us his strength. They shall take wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How utterly divine it is to cooperate with God in the salvation of souls. This will entirely bring it about. That good priests will run and not feel burdened, walk and not fall faint, bring to birth and barely feed the torments. Let sorrows come, let labors come, let dangers come, together with poverty and infamy. Let there be the peaks of the highest mountains to conquer. Let it be necessary to separate ourselves as far as possible from kin and our own home. Let there be a parish to accept in the poorest and most comfortable places. They will not flee any of these, but rather like Christ's servant Andrew, they will go forth to meet the cross already so long desired. But we must add that it is not in the future life alone that consolation is set forth to us by the Lord, but in the midst of the labors themselves, the greatest joys are mixed in, and they are so vast that all human labor does not equal them. Who can express how great is the joy of that mind which sees one soul regained by Christ for his own work? He can say, this man was a sinner. He had wandered away from the path. He was liable to eternal death, all tied up with the chains of a thousand sins. Through me he has now been made another man. I have rescued him from the jaws of both the death and hell. I have restored him to God. I have cleansed God's image in which he had been deformed. These joys are infinite. That's from St. Charles Borromeo, brothers and sisters. I want to close with this part of it. He says, no human consolations, whether those of the most powerful kings or the richest men or youth dissipating themselves with all pleasures, can be compared with them. The angels rejoice in heaven over this. They hope for thrones left vacant among them to be filled, and for that ruin among their ranks which came from sin to be repaired. Brothers and sisters, God will forgive everything if we come to him with a sincere desire to follow him. And he gives you the way through confession to do it. I always go to God first and say, God, I've sinned. These are my sins. I just want to tell you now. I'll go to confession. And then the next time I could get there, I would go. But I would just say that to God right when it happened, when I realized what I had done. God loves you. Because I had such a very good father and mother, I sometimes picture myself sitting on his lap and God talking to me. It's just a thought. I didn't have any vision, nothing like that, just a thought. And it brings such comfort to know that God is that near to me right now. He loves you. And those who have sinned, he knows you. Go to confession. Oh, brothers and sisters, he wants you to know how loved you are. And I just ask that what you receive then, pass on. Be kind to somebody. Forgive somebody their sin against you. Please, reach out. Get a clean slate, as we say, because God so loves us, and we want him to be glorified even through us. May God bless you today.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.